So what happened to flesh? We disregard it. We disregard it. How about mom and daddy? Boy, man, mom and daddy, they got attitude problem. You know, I'm just trying to live my life, find my way, and mom and daddy, boy, they're putting a crimp in my style. Amen. You know, well, that's what we're designed for, to crimp your style. That's what gravity is for, is to crimp your style. Amen. Parents are like gravity. They're there to crimp your style, to slow you down. Amen. So pastors are there for. We're here to crimp your style, slow you down. We're kind of like the law of gravity. Amen. And sometimes it hurts. It's kind of like the law of inertia. You just want to keep going. And then God has put something in your way to slow you down. You know why? Because He loves you. He loves you. You know why God wants disciples? Because He loves you. He doesn't want you to just barely get by. He doesn't just want you to get your GED. And I'm not down on GED. If you don't have one, get one. Get two. But He doesn't want you to stop there. Amen? He doesn't want you to barely get in. He wants you, in fact, to grow. He wants you to grow to the fullest extent. First thing to do is no longer regard anybody after the flesh. And you're doing that by faith. Amen? Listen to me. You're doing it by faith. You're saying, you know what? What they did, I just let that go. Now, I mean, your flesh is just like not happy about that at all. Because in the end, your enemy, the devil, goes around as a, anybody know this scripture? Y'all Bible Christians, y'all know it? Goes about as a seeking whom he, everybody say may. May if he could. He'd like to. Seeking whom he may. Let's see, excuse me, could I devour you today? No? I hope, what'd you say, I hope not? No, I ain't no hope not. You have to give a definitive answer. It's like those people who call you on the phone. Can I interest you? No. Might have a what? Oh, yeah, well, you do have cannibalism in your history. That's right. How many of you have cannibalism in your history? Yeah, never mind. Praise the Lord. You see, seeking whom he may devour. See, so what you're doing is just taking a stand on the Word of God. You're taking a stand on a promise. Amen? If God made a promise, is it good for the promise? Now quit checking your, you know, somebody's keeping a scorecard back here, you know, trying to, well, God didn't come through on this, and he didn't come through on that. What he did come through on is Jesus. He came through and he destroyed the work of the enemy. He destroyed the power of sin. That's what he did. He came through on that. Now, whatever else you think he needed to come through on, he's just holding out on that until he brings you to a place of understanding that he loves you. Amen? He absolutely loves you. And it's not just Jesus, it's the Father. He said, it's the Father who loves you. Everybody said, the Father loves me. The Father loves me. What's the problem with that? Because so many of you got examples of that, you know, had bad. Amen? What we're doing is saying, okay, look, God has shown you what the Father is. Jesus says this, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, if you like Jesus, you're going to love the Father. If you like Jesus, you're going to love the Father, James.
Praise God.
Amen. You see, no man has seen the Father at any time except the Son who came from the Father. Remember that's what Jesus said? But he said, Philip said, well, show us the Father and that'll be plenty. No, no, no. Have you been such a long time with me, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father in heaven loves you. He's not mad. He's not angry. He, in fact, put all the wrath on Jesus. And now he's sent Jesus to die for your sin. And now the Father now can have a relationship with you. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. You know why? Because he didn't want you just to have a relationship with Jesus. That's the rest of this scripture here. Is it says, we once knew Jesus after the flesh, but now we regard him in that way no longer. The only reason we regard Jesus after the flesh is the fact that he took wounds in his hands and his feet, and he died and he rose again to what? Bring you into the presence of the Father in heaven. That's the reason he did that. Now, so what he's doing now is causing you to have a change. Now let's look over here. at the scripture I'm going to tell you. All right, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. If you were here Monday night with the ministers, you probably you heard some of this. How many know when you preach again, it's never the same anyway. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then says Jesus to the devil in the wilderness, "Get you from here. Beat it. It's written, you shall worship the Lord that you serve." I left him. Well, that's pretty impressive. Get out of here, and what the devil did? My goodness. Powerful. Jesus said these two. In your house, in your face, you got to know who's lying. Tell him to get out. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and stood to him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, verse 13, came and dwelt in Capernaum, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. So here's what the prophet said. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Part of discipleship is the fact that you become light. You're becoming like Jesus. A disciple, when he's fully taught, becomes like his master. So when you're fully taught, you become like Jesus. And so when you show up, a light is sprung up. Do you know when you go show up that there's light coming into the room, in a dark place? I said, when you're just showing up, light shows up. Because you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you'll just come into the presence of God and worship Him daily, you're being transformed. This is the disciple. If you're being transformed, you're being changed. You look different. People come in and say, "There's something different about you." Or there's something different about you than anybody else who's in this room. As you're worshiping the Lord, not as you're trying to do the will of God. God is doing His own will. Jesus said, "I don't do anything or say anything that my Father, I didn't see my Father do or hear or say." So what's happening is he's having a relationship with his Father. Amen? He's having a relationship with his Father. And that's what he wants to do, for you to do, is to be discipled to the Father. He wants to have a relationship, have the Father have a relationship with you. That's why the Holy Spirit has come to indwell you. That's why the Holy Spirit is here. It's so that you have a relationship with your Father in heaven. Daily. Hourly, moment by moment, you're having a relationship with your Father. Amen? It's not what you're trying to do and trying to perform. God's not interested in you trying to do and trying to perform. I heard I was on my way over here, and somebody's building a major, major facility for God. And when you see this facility, you're going to want to go to church because you're seeing a place. Thought, dear Lord. He's not calling us to be one. Amen? He's not calling us to be a big beacon and light on the corner. That's what churches have become. Is not a people, even though they have people. But the identity is the building on the corner. The identity is the corporate rather than the individual under the Holy Ghost. The church is two or three gathered together in my name. It doesn't have to be 1,000. Doesn't have to be 500. Doesn't have to be 100. Doesn't have to be 50. Amen? The church of Jesus Christ is two or three gathered together in my name. There I am. You're not transformed by a giant group. You're transformed by one, the Holy Spirit. Individually, one by one. The church grew not when they packed in Jerusalem. The church grew actually when they began to be persecuted and they were driven out of Jerusalem. Amen? You remember? And the church began to spread. It began to spread. You are the great light. Wherever you show up, Dave, wherever you show up, do you honestly just believe that? Just by showing up, the Holy Ghost is doing something to you, the guy you're digging a hole for? My backyard will never be the same. I'll never be the same because you were at my house. Amen? Praise the Lord. Up. God's telling you, Holy Spirit, live inside of you. 75, 75. How old? How young you are. You got to know this. He's making the, when a disciple, he'll be like his master. He'll be like Jesus. He'll be like his father. So here it is, chapter 4 of Matthew 17 says, from time when Jesus had areas of Galilee into Capernaum, he said, that time Jesus said, repent of him is at hand. That is not repent. There's a new sheriff. There's a new theme, a new paradigm. A new paradigm in town. Change your mind. The city is, and a bunch of Jews, they did have a testimony or what was it? Like a shrine to the unknown God. This God, I know him. So many of the gods in the Gentile world and the world of the nations are sub-gods. Gods of rain, gods of sun, gods of animals, gods of this, gods of, you know, all gods. Our world has even got those. We got all kinds of sub-gods going on that we need to try to cultures. They all know there is a God and there's the God of gods. They know that. It is. There is a God above all gods. Rome tells us every man knows there's a God in heaven. And that God in heaven, without having awe, without having, and the Jews, because they were called to bring, have natural. You don't take, you don't kill natural. They're brought to our heart. Make up. You know, like Jim's talked about, law of eat your neighbor. But everybody's not. Those are designed. Those are economic reasons. Those are designed. Laws that are economic and that they hate law take over. They're bound. Are uniform. So here they come. God is the God of all declared to you. It says, God, here's your, the shrine to the unknown God. You know him because now Jesus came into the world the same so that you could have a relationship with God. You don't have to go to underlings anymore. You don't have to go through me. Oh. You know anybody else? You know the Father access through the name of Jesus. We have access to the Father through the name. Paradigm. Jesus said, repent. Change your mind. Them of them is. You know, that's your testimony. Walking to a place. It's, hey, everybody. Repent. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm just walking into a place knowing that I'm buzzing. I'm on fire. I am lit. I am filled with the Spirit of God. And I know him. It's changed me. Now, but I woke up and I had a bad hair day. I've determined to know no one after the flesh. Maybe I just remind myself in the morning. Put it up on your little mirror there. Stink. The flesh, I regard myself only after the Spirit. Bad attitudes, you're bad. Then you have bad attitudes. You don't regard after the flesh, nor do I. It's the thing. You'll forget. What's up? Off your wagon. You know what? In your wagon. God is transforming you. You're one who's following after him, but just mean you pick me back up. And I don't regard, just have a simply that, you know, well, just step one. I know you. You just, and you, because by day, line upon line, precept upon precept, you're becoming a rock. What he's done. And so from that time, Jesus began to repent of heaven as a hand. In verse 18 there, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, through his brother, a net, for they were. And he said, first thing, he began to say, I believe he's walking along by repent. And they're casting what they're doing, mind what they're doing, doing their own business. Follow me, the fisher of men. And immediately they left nets to follow him. Left their nets. They left their nets. They left. It doesn't mean you have to go, but what it does is belong to your master. How many of your business, sister? How many of a lot of master? What you do is your master, not who you are. Who you are is now your master. Not what your mama is at home is your master from here on out. Because now you've changed your paradigm. Your paradigm is no longer this world. Your paradigm is heaven. You've changed. You no longer live in translated out of his dear. You changed residence. An ambassador of heaven. How many know you've changed residency? Have you? Amen? This is what the Holy Spirit is wanting on. We are no. Even though they made this world, we don't regard as a candidate. In other words, Jesus. Amen? Outlaws said, why are you? Because you're here for the same reason Jesus came. Because you're now in the kingdom of heaven fishing. You're here for sinners. You're here. Amen? But, oh, you're here for sinners. Same reason Jesus came. You are here to deliver the kingdom of heaven. Deliver the kingdom of heaven. You're a disciple of the reason you show up in a crowd of people. Amen? Is to light, is to be light. That's it. So, here's the kingdom and this kingdom. All right? The new kingdom. All right? So, and they left their nets and they. All right. Acts chapter 16. Paul around. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jew. And his father was a Greek. The young man was reported of the brothers by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So people of the Lord did report the young man, and here it said would have to go forth with him. So he's going on this young further, lead him as one who is disciple. Circumcised Jews which were. For they knew his father was a Greek. So that's his young teenager. Circumcised. I mean, you're not anymore. It's unnecessary, according to. But for the purpose of the. It's only for the purpose of the ministry, for Christianity. For the purpose of. Hey, I think we ought to do this. Sure. Sure. It took a phase, and then Timothy was covering. And as they went through these, the end of the apostles and the elders were at Jerusalem. So we have a second generation of apostles. We have a second. Here, we have a generation here. We've got to have been a number under the ministry. Yet now, have been filled you with the word of heaven. You have been filled up, Pastor Jim, late into the night. And I think you'll be turning soon. So those of you calling, you may have to call me or something. So bed about 2 or something. To do that, but he told you about it from the pulpit. I'm up at all hours. But an invitation to call, and hey, brother, what does scripture mean? But he's making you now. Amen. You ready? You ready? Not just to himself. Amen. He's deceptive. Over in Corinthians chapter 4, you have 10,000 teachers, instructors. In Christ, yet you have not many fathers. Fathers are those who don't disciple themselves, that is the Lord, and then they release you. How have you parents here today that you bye, see you later? What we want. Go on, you know, to you go and disciple and bring in others and have you disciple others. Amen? That's what. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. 26. If any comes to me and hates not and his mother, his wife, brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. If you hate with respect to father and mother, sister, remember Jesus was teaching, and he, his brethren, and now, hey, your mother, your family is a big thing. Your mother and your brother, who are Jesus? Jesus said no one. There are many people who have family. I mean, like power family. They have power, patriarch, or a powerful person in the family that your family follows after. Say, for instance, like the Kennedys in New York or in Massachusetts, is that, you know, that guy pretty much ran their lives. I mean, here three or four of them all get killed being politicians. But that was his goal for his children, was to become, you know, the political powerhouses of the day. And that's what you did. You put your entire life around doing what Dad said. Jesus is saying, you're putting your entire life around what I say and what the Father says. What father, mother, sister, brother, and all these others are saying, you're free from that. And you must be free from it. You must be free from expectations of people. And now Jesus, you know, at the marriage feast at Cana of Galilee, says, you know, go talk to Jesus. He'll make some wine for you. He said, woman, what do I have to do with you? He's always having to rebuke her. You know, what do I have to do? Mom, no, stop it. Knock it off. You know, okay, I got to hear from the Father. Father said, do what she said. Okay, this time. So then he tells him what to do. So we honor parents. When he says hate, you know, what is that, contradiction in Scripture? Absolutely not. No, just mom's not God. Dad's not God. Grandpa is not God. Just because grandpa's a big shot in town doesn't mean that you do everything grandpa says. You have to hear from Jesus. Amen? And what you do is you get rid of that now. You get rid of that stuff. From you just before God, come in and get rid of that. Father, I thank you that I have no other gods beside you. See, that's what most gods were in the Old Testament. Most of gods before God came in with the covenant, most gods were relatives. Most gods were the guys who lived 900 years. Seth was a god to these people. Okay? Most people, I mean, these people who had lived long, long life, the patriarchs of years gone by, were the ancestors. Zeus and all these guys, they're just ancestors. And they're the gods. The gods of your tribe. Those who have gone before you. We don't have any of those. Even in the American culture, we got rid of all that. We got rid of all that kind of stuff. All that kind of stuff that handed down family power. We got rid of all that stuff. Only God. The testimony was, no king but Jesus. And that's you. You have no king but Jesus. Not father, mother, sister, brother, wife, children. Wife. Yeah. Men are head of their families. Then you get a wife. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm the head over my wife. Yeah, sure you are, buddy. That little bitty thing. Great power. Amen? How many men know women have great power? Little woman has great power. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And big men are really weenies. They're really weak. They have to know God. They have to know God. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me. You got to bear your cross. Oh, wow, got to bear my cross. Well, Jesus said this. He said, "Who's come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Take your cross. See, a lot of you want to carry the burden, the burden you've got. You know, Jesus said, get rid of your burden, carry mine. He said, get rid of yours and carry mine. Take up your cross and follow me. Again, you're changing your paradigm. What's a paradigm? It's these two dimes I got in my pocket. No, changing your paradigm is what? Turn the dime over, the other face, the other side. Change your mind 180 degrees. If you took a coin laying flat on the table and you flipped it over, ask the math expert over there. If you flip it over, you flipped it directly over, that's 180 degrees. That's going the other direction. You look from one face to the other face. And change it from one to the other. Lay your burden down, pick his burden up. See, he's not interested in you carrying your burden. He's not interested in you doing your own thing. He's interested in you doing his thing. Amen? Because number one, it's going to change the world. Number two, it's going to bless you. Another thing you've got to do is to not let people rule you is to forgive. Let that person go. Let your husband go. Let your wife go. Let dirty rat go that stole all your money, took you for $1 million. Let Madoff go. Get rid of it. Let him go. Just forgive that man, Madoff, because he made off with all your money. Just forgive him right now. Amen? Just forgive him. The guy that made off with all your money, you just say, in the name of Jesus, God is my source, not my money. My money is not my source. If Madoff hadn't got it, somebody else will. You would have put it in your pocket with holes anyway. Amen? Hallelujah. Because you're not that smart. Oh, by golly. Well, see, now you hate me. Praise the Lord. Now you got to forgive the pastor. Isn't that terrible? You may have to go to a new church now because you have to start all over again because you can't stand what the pastor preached. Amen. Well, God is good, isn't he? Huh? You having fun yet? All right, Acts chapter 18. Look at that. Acts 18. This is a good message. You're going to like it. Because you're becoming a disciple. And you're getting rid of all your junk. You're getting rid of everything that rules you. Acts chapter 18. We have another second generation. Verse 18. And Paul, tarried there yet a good while and took his leave of the brethren and sailed from there into Syria. I'm not going to tell you where there was. Into Syria. And with him, with Paul, Priscilla and Aquila. There's a couple. And having shorn an Aquila, and Aquila having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow, and he came to Ephesus, Paul came to Ephesus and left them there. So he left Priscilla and Aquila there in Ephesus, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Now, go down to verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria in Egypt, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. So here's Aquila and Priscilla, and they're in Ephesus. Paul left them there. And so here comes Apollos. So I guess there was a reason that Paul left Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus. I think the Father knew something. Amen. There's a reason maybe that you got left where you got left. I said there's a reason maybe you got left where you got left. God, how come I got left here? And here, Apollos came to Ephesus. Verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent, oh man, he was fervent, in spirit, and he spoke and taught diligently about the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard it, they took him to themselves and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. Ah, there's some discipleship going on. These weren't Paul. These were Paul's disciples. What were they doing? Discipling further. Amen. Is that you? Yes. Well, I'll take him to Pastor Dave. I'll take them to Pastor Jim. No. You just get in the Word. You just begin to disciple them along. Amen? You begin to bring them along. You can bring them to a meeting, but you begin to bring them along. We don't need more disciples. Man, we're burdened down with the ones we got. We don't need more people coming to us to call us in the middle of the night. What we need is disciples. Amen? Aquila and Priscilla, discipling Apollos unto the Lord. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, Apollos, the brethren wrote, they sent him on ahead, exhorting the disciples there to receive him, who when he was come, he helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. How many know? You don't know who you're going to do. Mordecai Ham led Billy Graham to the Lord. And no, you never even heard of that guy. Sam Martin led John Osteen to the Lord. Didn't hear him either. But you heard of their disciple. You heard of their disciples. You heard of Billy Graham. You heard of John Osteen. You've heard of many who were discipled by somebody you never knew. Maybe that's you. Just bring them along. Amen? You are those who are born into this kingdom to declare the word of the Lord, to be the light, to shine exactly where you are. Amen? A light in a dark place has sprung up. That's you. And it's not because you have some kind of talent or affinity. It's because you have a relationship with your Father. You have a relationship with your Father, which is in heaven. This is the Word of God. This is the kingdom of heaven. Is you declaring the Word of the Lord? Not a big church on the corner. You, dispersed throughout the kingdom of this world. This is you. Not going down to witness on Saturday night in a coordinated effort. That's fine, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is you walking and being a light exactly where Jesus is sending you day after day after day. You don't have to create a program. The Holy Spirit creates the program. The program is you where you are. Amen? Oh, yeah. All right. Finally, let's look at John chapter 6. Oh, anybody remember John chapter 6? John chapter 6, verse 52. Now, Jesus had already started this conversation before, but now we're going to kind of climax this conversation. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Now, y'all remember where I'm going? Then Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat," he just ground it in, made it worse. "Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Well, that just sounds I can't handle that. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Yeah, I'm reading this out of the Bible. John, you know, the book that you might believe. This is your Bible, same one you got. Verse 55. "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Did I read the part about last day? Did I read that? Verse 54, did I miss that one? Okay. "Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me even shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. And he that eats of this bread shall live forever. And these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" This is a hard saying. And then many went back and did not follow him after that. But see, listen. Here's what they already knew. It's not just the words that he said, but they knew him. And they knew that this Jesus, even though I don't even understand what he's saying, I know that he has come from heaven. And I know that he has the words of eternal life, which is what they're going to say. Where else shall we go? So, they knew that he was not talking about cannibalism. But they did not know what exactly. But they knew that wasn't it. But we know this, is that what we don't know, we will know. What I don't understand, I will understand. I know he's not talking about eating flesh. It's just on the surface. But I know what he's saying is life. And so they said, "Where are we going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life." So here, a disciple is one who's heard and believes and walks as one who has been absolutely convinced by God that these are the words of eternal life. And God is leading you. That's why in John chapter 13 through 17, Jesus began to speak about leaving. He began to speak about no longer regarding him after the flesh, as Paul spoke there where we began. Is that Jesus began to speak about the Holy Spirit and the relationship to the Father, that the Father desires that you bear fruit and your fruit remain. And that he was going to go away, but he's going to send another comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to dwell inside of you. And he's going to speak of me. There are many things that Jesus says, "I want to share with you, but you cannot bear them now." But when the Holy Spirit has come, he will reveal them to you. He will take of mine and he will show it to you. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. If you ask the Father anything in my name, I will do it." See, you are now dwelling in a new world, a new life, a new paradigm. See, it's not about making this world better, making your marriage better, making this better, putting a bow on this world and making it better, making it sweeter, making it nicer, all the way to heaven. Make it nicer all the way to heaven. That's not what the kingdom of heaven is about. The kingdom of heaven is about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This world is going away. The world is passing away. This world will no longer be. Even this world right now is passing away, and we're doing the best we can to patch it up. The church is doing what it can to patch it up. Amen? It's trying to share Jesus and patch up the world all at the same time. Stop it. Stop it. The only reason you're doing politics, the only reason you do any politics at all, is to slow it down, throw a monkey wrench in the deal. It's just to slow it down. You're not taking it seriously. We're not going to have the kingdom of heaven here. Amen? You have the authority and the power given in this place, in this nation, to make a difference. So go vote on Tuesday. You know, "Well, I don't know anything." Well, go find out, for crying out loud. "I'm too lazy." Well, then you get what you got. Amen? You got what you have because you're too lazy. "I got what I have because I'm too lazy to pay attention." God gave you freedom here in this place more than in any other place. So it's incumbent upon you to take that freedom and that make that duty yours. To care for your family. To open the door for the gospel wide in this place because it's available to you. to go stand up and speak and say something and stop something. Because it's available to you. Amen? It's a freedom given to you by God. Somebody else, there's another place in the world that you can't do that. They'll shut you down. They'll put you in jail. You have a nice prison ministry. That's good. But here, as long as you can, stand up and become involved outwardly. Change your entire neighborhood. Because your neighborhood now is your preaching church. The place where you preach. Place where you can have freedom to do what God gave you to do. Don't just throw it away because you were too lazy to do anything about it. Or nobody told you anything. Well, they didn't advertise it. They didn't say enough about it. Well, go find out. Huh? Praise the Lord. We don't do anything anymore. Amen? Don't do nothing. You know, don't have to do nothing. We just, you know, do what we do and leave the rest to the wicked. Because the wicked are working really hard. They're working overtime. Amen? The wicked are working overtime. We're not working at all. See, what I'm saying to you is this, is just don't make up something to go do. Don't do that. Go into the closet. Worship God. Let Him send you. Let Him send you. Amen? Just go in the closet. Let Him send you. You will be sent. You go in your closet, you will be sent. You will be seen. You will be displayed. God will use that vessel. You're a disciple. Amen? You've changed your paradigm. You're no longer of this world. God is good. God gave you pastors. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. So, obey. If you receive those gifts of God, receive them as gifts and obey. And when you mess up, repent. Say, Jesus, confess. Jesus, I messed up. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you're transforming me. God is good. Amen? All right. Anybody get anything out of this today? Your strength, power. You're a brand new life. New creation. We regard no one after the flesh. Why? Because we're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All right, let's stand together. If I were you, I'd stand because I'm tired of sitting. Why do you make everybody stand? That's good for you. Religious tradition. Father, we praise you. Let's just praise him. Open your mouth so you can hear your own voice. Yes. Father, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that I'm your disciple. I thank you that I have a new vision, a new paradigm, a new view of the world. I have repented. I don't believe in this world anymore. I believe in the kingdom of heaven. And Father, I thank you right now that we are disciples. We've declared ourselves to be disciples of Jesus, that we are children, sons, and daughters of the Father. And Father, I thank you right now that you are transforming the world by the presence of each one of us individually in the place where we inhabit, the place where we dwell, the place where we work, the place where we show up. And Father, as we go back to our closet and our home, and Father, our family, that you are transforming them. And you're transforming me, that I no longer look at people after the flesh. I forgive them. I let them go. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're changing me into your image, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, from that good, acceptable, to the perfect will of God. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. constantly. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. I'm being changed, bearing fruit as a seed which has seed in itself, as a fruit which has seed in itself to reproduce, and then that fruit would continue and never stop. That's me. And so we give you praise and thanksgiving for it. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.